We never interpret who God is in light of our circumstances. We have to interpret who God is in light of what the Scriptures say of us. It's very easy to do that, especially when you're going through hard times. Where's God in all this? I thought God was kind. I thought God was good. I thought God was gracious. Why is all these? Why is he allowing these things to happen? We'll sort of be touching on that this morning as you turn your Bibles, please, to Psalm 103 once again. We're dealing with verses 1 through 7. Blessing the Lord, reasons for doing so. This is the sixth message in this series down here in verses 1 through 6. Excuse me, 1 through 7. Let me read that portion of Scripture to you. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. And here's the text that we'll be considering this morning. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. You may be seated. One of the frustrating aspects of the police profession is the injustice that sometimes takes place in the courts. I remember, and this was only a motor vehicle violation, so you learn to deal with this, but a defendant went through a stop street and another man hit him. I got up and testified in court what happened. He got up and said, what the trooper said is exactly where it happened. I pulled out and went through the stop street. And the judge said, it's burden of the state to prove the case beyond a reasonable doubt. There's a reasonable doubt, and I find you not guilty. So you walk out knowing, all right, we call it, the fix was in. He knew, so the defendant knew somebody, called the judge. And so you didn't get too upset on that. But then there were times you realize you put your life on the line and make an arrest. And then it's no small matter. Cases are thrown out on minor technicalities. Evidence is suppressed because of a supposed minor violation of the defendant's rights. Or a jury finds a defendant not guilty in the face of a preponderance of indisputable evidence. Let me give you an example. Another troop and I were patrolling Interstate 78 at late at night. It was a night that was hardly any traffic on the highway. And he was all anxious and bored and said, the next car, we got to stop. It's too boring out here. So this car goes by us, and it looked to me like a lady with a little baby in a car seat. And he said, let's stop that car. I said, no, I'm not stopping that car. We'll scare that poor woman to death. So he kept hassling me. And he was very comical. So finally, I put the roof lights on. The car pulled on the shoulder, but it didn't stop. It kept moving on the shoulder off of 78 down to 287. And I said to the other trooper's name was Jeff. I said, Jeff, that car's dirty, so be careful. Because two troopers who just 2 weeks ago were shot out on the turnpike. So the car eventually stopped, and I locked up the car. I says, Lord, give me a legal right to search this vehicle because I know it's dirty. Well, to make a long story short, I did search the vehicle. I told Jeff to four people to get out of the car. It was two couples. Stand in front of the car. I said to Jeff, you stand and watch them. Don't watch me. So I saw some marijuana roaches in the tray. I said, it's 1:30 in the morning. I'm not going to bust them for something simple as that. But then I saw the butt end of a .380 automatic sticking out from under a pillow on the floor. And my first response, they could have a gun in their belt and blow Jeff away. So I jumped out of the car with my gun, and I just told him, he yelled real loud, get up against the car, I'm going to blow your heads off. Jeff said to me later, he said, you scared me so bad, I thought you meant me too. Well, we end up finding that they did have a handgun without a permit. And according to New Jersey criminal law at that time, when you found a handgun in a vehicle and no one claimed possession of it, it was prima facie evidence that everyone in the vehicle was guilty of possession of a handgun without a permit. They were also in possession of drugs and drug paraphernalia. One of the men was wanted for 7 armed robberies out of Harrisburg. We were extra cautious, as I said, because 2 troopers were just recently shot on the turnpike. You might remember Joanne Chesimard, and the one trooper's name was Trooper Warner. He died. We went through what's called a suppression of evidence hearing. 4 defense attorneys. A suppression of evidence hearing is if they can determine that it was an illegal search, regardless of what I find in the vehicle, that can never be brought in as evidence. So they're trying to prove that it was an illegal search, therefore you could not bring the gun in as evidence. And of course, when you're charged with that, if you don't have the weapon, then there's no case. And it was in Somerset County. Now, this was my opinion. I always felt when I went to court in Somerset County that I was the criminal. Very liberal judges, very liberal attorneys, and I never had good experiences there. But the 4 defense attorneys are trying to tear me down and prove that it was an illegal search. And the judge was very liberal. But he had to come to the conclusion the trooper acted in good faith. He denied the motion to suppress, but then he says this, but I think the only reason the trooper stopped is people because they're black. And I said no to myself, the only reason I stopped them because Jeff was hassling me to death to stop him. But anyway, it goes to court. It goes to jury trial. On the illegal possession of a handgun without a permit, I was not allowed to testify that they had drugs and drug paraphernalia. I was not allowed to testify that one of the men was wanted for 7 armed robberies out of Harrisburg. There was little if any concern about the law, but just making sure that the so-called rights of these defendants weren't violated. But there was the handgun, 380 automatic, fully loaded. 4 defense attorneys trying to attack me again, and when it didn't work, they used this tack. My client, the driver, didn't know the gun was in the car. The other 3 probably did, but my client, the driver, didn't know. The other attorney who gives up, my client, the passenger in the right front seat, didn't know the gun was in the car. The other 3 possibly did. But my client, and that's the way they went. Well, that was immaterial. The law says if no one claims possession, it's prima facie evidence that all 4 are guilty. There was the gun. It was there. They didn't deny having the gun. But you walk out of there, and the jury finds them not guilty of possession of a handgun. Now, all these things are minor compared to the gross injustice that's happening all over the world just as we speak. Believers in third world countries are suffering harsh persecution and even death at the hands of oppressive governments. Officials in our government who lie, cheat, and steal are rarely held accountable. If you remember, if you follow politics in the past month, we heard of several Republicans in the New York legislature who broke their promise to their constituents. They promised, you elect us to the legislature in New York, we will vote against the pending bill to legalize gay marriage. We promise you we will do that. They got elected, the bill comes up, and those Republicans helped pass the bill. Senators and congressmen who charged those who testified before them of the crime of lying to Congress, when most of them lie a good part of the time. Roger Clemens, a Cy Young Award pitcher, could be facing 15 to 20 years in prison because he supposedly lied to Congress about taking performance-enhancing drugs. We just saw about the woman who was just found not guilty of murdering her young daughter in spite of all the evidence, all the lies that she told. She's free, being offered $5 million for some kind of an interview. Some of you in this place have suffered and are suffering from injustice, maybe from former relationships. And the consequences which you're made to live with and may continue to live with for the rest of your life. But in spite of all the injustice in the world, We have reason to hope that it will be all made right in the end. We worship a sovereign God who rules over all. Look at verse 19 of his text. The Lord has established his throne in heaven and his kingdom rules over all. Now, in our exposition of the first five verses, we learn that our God is gracious, kind, and abundant in mercy. But in the text before us this morning, we find that he's also very zealous for righteousness and justice. In fact, our text tells us that he executes righteousness and justice, not just for some, but for all who are oppressed, all who have suffered, all are suffering and will suffer from the unrighteous acts of wicked men. All who have suffered and are suffering and will suffer from the grotesque forms of injustice. He knows all, he sees all, and will act accordingly. Look at verse 6. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. Now, the text is a slight departure from all that we considered so far. If you remember, all the other personal benefits that he listed, that he bestowed on each believer, but now he becomes more broad and general. All down through verses 1 through 5, he speaks of, bless the Lord who forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth, but now he speaks and expands it in justice for all who are oppressed. And verse 7 is a glorious illustration of this very thing in his dealings with Moses and with the entire nation of Israel. Now let's look at the text. We should be blessing the Lord because of his righteous judgments. Notice the implementation of his righteous judgments. The Lord executes righteousness and justice because he himself is righteous and just. He's perfect in righteousness and perfectly just. Therefore, he is moved to bring righteousness and justice to all who are the victims of unrighteousness and injustice. Fallen man is unrighteous and unjust. We live in a world of unrighteousness and injustice. As a result, many have and will become the victims of unjust and wicked schemes. And the Lord promises that when this happens, at one time he's going to come to their aid. All through the scriptures, God declares his righteousness and justice. In fact, one psalm says, righteousness and justice are the foundations of his throne. They are the very basis of his sovereign rule over creation. Therefore, God is never unrighteous or unjust. He is too holy to be unrighteous, too wise to be mistaken. But our text goes beyond a promise or a declaration that God is righteous. It says, he executes righteousness and justice. Or the NIV, he works righteousness and justice. That means to be actively engaged in bringing righteousness and justice to all those who are in need. Go over to Psalm 37, please, and you'll see that this is another way that he promises that he will do this. Psalm 37. Psalmist warns us of what happens, not to react in the normal way when we're the victims of injustice. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they soon shall be cut down like the grass and wither as a green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Now notice, commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. Trust, rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the wicked man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger, forsake wrath, do not fret, it only causes harm. This is another reason why we should be saying, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is in me. Bless His holy name," because He says He executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. Remember the words in that song, "God is too wise to be mistaken. God is too good to be unkind. So when you don't understand and you don't see His plan, when you can't trace His hand, trust His heart." Secondly, we see the recipients of His righteous judgments. Look at the text again. "For all who are oppressed." Now, in the Old Testament, the oppressed were usually referred to widows, orphans, foreigners, and the poor, because they were weak and vulnerable, and people, those in the power, took advantage of them. But this also includes any and all who have been the target of the unrighteous acts of wicked men, or have been victimized by gross injustice in one form or another, and you're in no position to do anything about it. But the psalmist tells us that the Lord will come to the aid of all those oppressed. He is and will continue to be active and aggressive in bringing righteousness and justice for them. "Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it forth to pass. He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as a noonday." But let's be honest. There are times when that doesn't seem to be true. There is much oppression going all over the world, and many have asked, "Where is God?" Christians are in untold numbers are being systematically beaten, murdered, imprisoned, women raped, children taken from their homes by many of the oppressive governments of the world, Africa, India, China, and many of the Muslim countries. I knew a detective from Suffolk County. He worked in a homicide bureau, and when he retired, he worked for an oil company in Saudi Arabia, and he said, "We'd have Bible studies, but," he said, "if I got caught with a Bible in my hand in Saudi Arabia, I'd be cast into prison. No one ever hear me of me again." It may be that some of you in this place this morning have been victims of gross injustice, and you're being made to suffer the consequences of that injustice. It may be that you've prayed for the Lord to bring you justice, but everything remains the same. This is pretty common. Go to Psalm 74, please. Psalm 74. Notice how it starts out. "Oh God, why have you cast us off forever? Why does your anger smoke against the sheep of your pasture? Remember your congregation which you have purchased of old, the tribe of your inheritance which you have redeemed, this Mount Zion where you have dwelt. Lift up your feet to the perpetual desolations. The enemy has damaged everything in the sanctuary. Your enemies roar in the midst of your meeting places. They set up their banners for signs. They seem like men who lift up axes among the thick trees. Now they break down its carved works all at once." And destroying the temple is what he's referring about. "They set fire to your sanctuary. They have defiled the dwelling place of the name to the ground. They say in their hearts, 'Let us destroy them altogether.' They have burned up all the meeting places of God in the land. We do not see our signs. There's no longer any prophet, nor is there any among us who knows how long. Oh God, how long will the adversary approach? Will the enemy blaspheme your name forever? Why do you withdraw your hand, even your right hand? Take it out of your bosom and destroy them. For God is my King from of old, working salvation in the midst of the earth. You divided the sea by your strength. You broke the heads of the sea serpents in the waters. You broke the heads of Leviathan in pieces and gave them as food to the people inhabiting the wilderness. You broke open the fountain and the flood and dried up the mighty rivers. The day is yours. The night also is yours. You have prepared the light and the sun and have set up the borders of the earth. You remade summer and winter. Remember that the enemy has reproached you, O Lord, and that a foolish people has blasphemed your name. Oh, do not deliver the life of the turtle dove to the wild beast, Do not forget the life of your poor forever. Have respect to the covenant. For the dark places of the earth are full of the haunts of cruelty. Oh, do not let the oppressed return ashamed. Let the poor and needy praise your name. Arise, O God, plead your own cause. Remember how the foolish man reproaches you daily. Do not forget the voice of your enemies. The tumult of those who rise up against you increases continually. It's times like these that our faith is put to a severe test. God's word said that He's there to execute righteous and justice for the oppressed, but then you got to deal with the hard, cold realities of life which cannot be denied. People are being oppressed, and it seems like God is silent. And one of the things we have to decide is, are we going to believe what God says about Himself? Or are we going to believe the hard, cold realities of life that contradict everything God says about Himself? Some of you may be crying out to the Lord just like the sons of Korah did in Psalm 44. Awake, why do you sleep, O Lord? Why do you hide your face and forget our affliction or oppression? For our soul is bowed down to the dust. Our body clings to the ground. Arise for our help and redeem us for your mercy's sake. Why have you cast us off, O God? How long will the adversary reproach? Do not forget the life of your poor forever. Oh, do not let the oppressed return ashamed. Let the poor and needy praise your name. How long, O Lord? How long? Maybe some of you are asking that question. It's a good question to ask, because if you look at the next psalm, you'll see he answers that. Look at verse 2. Psalm 75. When I choose the proper time, I will judge uprightly. God has His own time. God has His own time, and He will honor His word. God is too wise to be mistaken. God is too good to be unkind. So when you don't understand and you don't see His plan, when you can't trace His hand, trust His heart. The truth of our text stands like a solid rock. If all history is a book, we are not in the last chapter of the book. God is going to do somehow, some way, He's going to do what He says. There will come a time when God will bring everything to light and He will judge impartially. In that day, there will be no hiding, no excuse making, no bribes, and no way of escape. No concern for the rights of the defendant. Ecclesiastes 12:13, let us hear the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Romans 2:16, in the day when God will judge the secrets of men, by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. Have you been or are you being oppressed? Have you been the victim of injustice? When you get to a place where it seems like you're being wrung out over the stress, when you see wicked schemers being successful in perpetrating their wicked schemes, ask God for grace to rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Ask the Lord for grace to cease from anger, forsake wrath, do not fret, it's only going to cause you harm. When you begin to wonder where God is in all this, go back to the text, think and meditate on this blessed truth, and begin to say to yourself, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is in me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. And one of the reasons for doing so, the Lord executes righteous and justice for all who are oppressed. And when He chooses the proper time, He will judge uprightly. There's also a warning in the text. There may come a time when we will be tempted to take advantage of others because we are in a position of strength and they are vulnerable. The text should bring us up short. the Lord God Almighty takes the side of the weak. He not only executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed, but for in doing so, he will bring judgment on the oppressor. Our Lord keeps his eyes on the helpless. And when others hurt him, he will move to balance the scales of justice at the time that he has ordained. It may be in this life or the day of judgment, but one thing is absolutely certain. The Lord executes and will always execute righteous and justice for all who have been oppressed. Then he gives us an example of his righteous judgments. Verse 7. He made his ways known to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. When Moses went up to Mount Sinai and tarried there with God the space of 40 days, someone said, we may well think that God in that time revealed many secrets to him, and particularly he made his ways known to Moses. In fact, Moses prayed that in Exodus 33, 12 and 13. Moses said to the Lord, show me now your way that I may know you and that I may find grace in your sight. The Lord showed Moses many things. In context, he revealed to him that he would execute righteous and justice for the oppressed, meaning the nation of Israel. He made those things known to Moses, but he demonstrated it to the nation of Israel. Look at the latter part of verse 7, his acts to the children of Israel. What greater way to demonstrate that he executes righteous and justice to all who are oppressed than to bring the entire nation of Israel out of the oppressive bondage in Egypt? If you've been oppressed or are being oppressed, hold on to this text. Someday, in some way or another, our God will bring you out of this oppression. He will also judge the oppressor. Righteousness and judgment are a part of God's character. He will and must judge uprightly. But also remember that being treated unjustly is a part of our calling as Christians. Go to 1 Peter chapter 2, please. 1 Peter chapter 2. We'll go back to verse 18. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only for the good and the gentle, but also the harsh. For this is commendable, if because of conscience toward God one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. For what credit is it when you are beaten for your fault, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who when he was reviled did not revile in return, but when he suffered he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. That's one thing sometimes we have to do. We just have to say, Lord, I can't undo the injustice. I can't do what has happened to me, but I commit it into your hands because you're the God who judges all things. For those who are not saved, you are being oppressed by sin and by Satan. If you remain in your sin, he will drag you down to hell with him. But the Lord has executed righteousness and justice for you by the redemptive work of the Lord Jesus Christ. But go back to chapter 1 of 1 Peter. Verse 17. And if you call on the Father who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourself therefore in the time of your stay in here, fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without spot or blemish, without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope is in God. Look at verse 25. For the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. Those of you who are oppressed by the devil, God has given you freedom from that oppression through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Only his shed blood is worthy enough to redeem us and to buy us back. Praise God. He executes righteousness and justice for the oppressed. For all the oppressed, look to him. Look to him to be saved if you're not saved. Look to him to encourage you if you're going through hard times. Let's bow in prayer. Lord, there are those who are going through difficult times in marriages or breakup of marriages, who are being oppressed in many other ways. You know what they are. You know what they are, Lord. Help them to hold on to that glorious truth. It's so easy to want to throw up your hands and quit and say, where is God in all this? I cry out to God night and day, but there's no change. Just help them to hold on to the fact that when you choose the proper time, you will judge uprightly. And may we all hold on to that glorious promise, knowing that you can't fail, you can't lie. You're the perfect God who loves us beyond anything we could imagine. And one day in this life or in the life to come, you will come to our aid. You'll make everything right. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being the one through whom we have redemption and have access into the Father. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.